I want to certainly express my appreciation to those of you that have come out this evening and the weather, the way that it's pronounced to be. And so to see you here, I'm certainly glad to have you present. The second thing I'd like to say, that in studying the book of Deuteronomy, some people might say, well, why study the book of Deuteronomy? Paul said, whatsoever things were written aforetime were written for our learning, that we, through patience and comfort of Scripture, might have hope. These things, he says, were written for us, that we might learn some lessons. In 1 Corinthians 10, Paul said, these things are examples for us. So we need to study the Old Testament. We really don't need to be the kind of people that denominational people say we are, that we only believe in the New Testament. We certainly do not believe that. We read the Old Testament, we study the Old Testament, and we try to learn a great deal from it. Now the question would be, why would you want to study the book of Deuteronomy? Well, the book of Deuteronomy is given to God's people when they're getting ready to go into the land that God has promised them. In other words, remember in Genesis chapter 12 that God promised Abraham that he'd make a great nation out of him, that he would give him the land, and that through him all the nations of the earth would be blessed. The book of Deuteronomy is they're standing on the east side of the Jordan River, getting ready to go into the land. And Moses has some things to say to them before they cross over the river. It's somewhat like in Isaiah chapter 40 when he talks about John the Baptizer coming to prepare them for Jesus. In other words, Jesus was coming and John had to prepare their heart. Moses is preparing the heart of the people before they go into the land of Canaan. Now, how is he going to prepare their heart? Well, first of all, he reminds them that sin is destructive and that righteousness is constructive. One builds, the other tears down. That righteousness exalts a nation. That's what he's saying. And we need to be reminded of that today. The book of Genesis covers 2,500 years. The book of Deuteronomy covers a 30-day meeting. Now, can you imagine we have 3-day meetings and 2-day meetings and sometimes just meet on Sunday and have a meeting? When I went to Pennsylvania in 1955, I read some of the old books of the congregation there, and E.W. McMillan came to Cherry Tree, Pennsylvania in 1931. He held a 30-day meeting and baptized 36 people. How long has it been since you've heard of a 30-day meeting? Now, in the Philippines and in India, they baptized 36 people, but not in America anymore. And so this book certainly fits in to where we are, and I'm excited about it. And I hope I can excite you about it, that there's some things here we need to learn. In this 30-day meeting, they were in the plain of Moab. And the first thing that he reminds them is the fact that you've made a covenant with God, that you've made a vow to God, and you need to keep that vow. And so he begins in Deuteronomy 1. And we're going to study. Get your Bible out. This is a Bible lesson. And if you don't have a Bible, hold your hand up and we'll see that you get one. Anybody need a Bible? Hold your hand up. Okay, let's look at Deuteronomy chapter 1 then and let's begin to read. There's nothing like reading the Word of God. Ezra, of course, came together with God's people and he read from the morning till part of the midday. Everybody estimates from 3 to 4 hours they read the Word of God. Well, now we need to read the Word of God And let's begin to look in verse 2 of chapter 1. He said, "There are 11 days' journey from Horeb by the way of Mount Seir unto Kadesh Barnea." Now here God's people had been 11 days away from the promised land. The first thing that Moses reminds them is the fact that they have roots of disobedience. We need to be reminded today as Americans. We need to be reminded that many times we're prone to sin. And we have roots in disobedience. He said, now let me tell you how destructive sin is. He said, when Miriam spoke against Moses, she had leprosy. And Moses went to God and prayed, and God said, if her father had spit in her face, she'd be unclean 7 days. So they stayed at the same place 7 days. They lost 7 days. Well, not only that, when the time came that they were concerned about the land of promise, they decided to send 12 men up there, and they stayed 40 days. They wasted another 40 days. They could have already been, by the time the men came back, they could have been in the land 31 days. But they wasted 40 days by sending the spies. As a result of the report of the spies, they wasted another 40 years. And 600,000 men died, beside the women and the children, during those 40 years. The only footman, the only individual saved, was Joshua and Caleb of that group that went in. Is sin destructive? Did Israel have roots in disobedience? And certainly he reminds them that they did, and that they had them quite often. Turn over to Deuteronomy, the 8th chapter. We'll touch on this later, but I think it's wise to get with it now for a moment. In Deuteronomy 8, in verse 2, down through verse 3, listen to it. "And thou shalt remember all the way which the Lord thy God led thee these 40 years in the wilderness, to humble thee." Why? They lost their humility. He said, God wanted to humble you and prove thee and to know what was in thine heart, whether thou wouldst keep his commandments or no. And he humbled thee and suffered thee to hunger and fed thee with manna which thou knewest not, neither did thy fathers know, that he might make thee to know that man doth not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of God. He said, God, because of your disobedience, had to humble you, to prove you, and to know what was in your heart. I wonder how many of us really know what's in our heart. I wonder how many of us really know ourselves. My wife told my youngest son-in-law, said, "I pray to God to help me see myself as He sees me." A few weeks later, my son-in-law came back and he said, "I've been praying that prayer, but it's uncomfortable." Think about that. We don't dig deep into our life to see exactly who we are and to remove the roots of disobedience. And he said, "For this reason God humbled you and fed you out of the palm of his hand manna, a bread that you'd never known nor your fathers, that every day you depended on God for food." He said, you were in that great and terrible desert. That's the way Moses described. No food and no water. They were completely dependent upon God to humble them. And brethren, I'm telling you the thing that we need in the Lord's church more than anything else today is the fact we need humility. Not long ago, I met one summer with groups from three different churches that were having trouble. I went to one every Tuesday night and drove 70 miles to talk to them. After the fourth week, I said, I'm not coming back. The check that you have signed for me tonight, give it to me and I'll sign it and give it back. The two groups that are fussing are not listening to what I'm saying. God's people need to be humbled. We need to listen. We come to learn. We come to listen. And we need to rid ourselves of roots of disobedience. Now Moses reminded them that they've been disobedient. Look back in Exodus 14, if you will. And this time, verse 11. Listen to them. And they said unto Moses, because there were no graves in Egypt, hast thou taken us away to die in the wilderness? Wherefore hast thou dealt with us to carry us forth out of Egypt? Is it not the word that we did tell thee in Egypt, saying, let us alone, that we may serve the Egyptians? For it had been better that we serve the Egyptians than that we should die in the wilderness. Look at verse 14. Moses said, the Lord shall fight for you. You hold your peace. The Red Sea was in front of them. Pharaoh was behind them. They were slaves. They were not warriors. They were not soldiers. And they complained and they murmured against Moses and against God. Murmuring is certainly a thing of God's people today. You know, it's too hot, it's too cold, it's too dry, it's too wet. There's something wrong all the time. God hates murmuring. Never has a group of people ever been as rich as we are. I'm looking in the faces of rich people. Everybody here is rich. I taught school in metropolitan Nashville in the projects, and I told my kids, look, if you're living in the projects, drawing a welfare check, you're richer than half the people in the world. They murmured. They complained. And they'd wasted all this time. 7 days with Miriam. 12 days with the 40 days with the 12 spies. 40 years because they complained. And Moses said, I don't need to tell you that God is still God. And God loves you. But you need to recognize that you've got roots of disobedience. He said, turn back to Deuteronomy chapter 1 now. He said, when the 12 spies returned, they told you what kind of land it was in verse 25. And they took of the fruit in their hands, and they brought it down to us and brought us word again indeed, saying it's good, which the Lord our God doth give us. You imagine how good it really looked to them of what they've been eating in the wilderness all this time. It's good. But we're going to see the roots of disobedience. Notwithstanding, watch this, you would not go up but rebelled against commandments of the Lord your God, and murmured in your tents and said, because the Lord has hated us, he's brought us forth out of the land of Egypt to deliver us into the hands of the Amorites to destroy us. Murmuring, complaining. Fellows said, I complained about having no shoes till I saw the man who had no feet. Someone turned the television on Sunday morning And that was a little boy playing football. He lost his legs and his knees. And he was out there trying to play football. And my wife thought he was a chimpanzee. Can you imagine how blessed we are? And murmur. And he said, not only that, he said in verse 28, he said, whether shall we go up? Our brethren have discouraged their hearts, saying, the people is greater and taller than we are, and the cities are great and walled up to heaven. And moreover, we've seen the sons of Anakims. Then I said unto you, dread not, neither be afraid of them. In Egypt, there were no walled cities. They didn't need walled cities in Egypt. They spied out the land, and you were strong, and giants in the land. They're greater than we are, and we're bigger than we are, and we can't grow up. And they saw that they displeased God. And then God told them not to go up, and they decided to go up. Isn't that something? God told them to go up, and they said, we can't go up. God said, you've disobeyed me, and none of you older people are going in. And then decided, we've disobeyed God, we better go. And Moses stood and said, no, don't you go. Now listen to him in verse 43. And I spake unto you, and you would not hear. But you rebelled against the commandments of the Lord, and you went presumptuously up into the hill. God said, go, and you wouldn't go. God said, don't go, and you went. And he said, they chased you as bees. Roots of disobedience. Israel had deep roots in disobedience. We today are developing deeper roots in disobedience. I believe that our children are more disobedient than at any time in my years upon this earth. I believe we're seeing more disobedience everywhere. And the thing that breaks my heart, we're seeing it in the Lord's church. That bothers me. It really bothers me deeply. How then can we rebel today as they rebelled? Well, in 1 Corinthians 10 and verse 8, he said they committed fornication and 23,000 died in one day. Is fornication a part of our problem today in our society? Oh, we know that one man for one woman for life is what God intended. But people nowadays are saying, you know, my children and your children are beating up on our children. I was over in North Carolina a few weeks ago, and a fellow told me about two little boys sitting on the street, and one of them said, how you like your new daddy? He said, oh, he'll do. He said, why did you ask? He said, well, he was my daddy last year. 23,000 died in one day of God's people because they associated with people around them and became like them. Our problem today is the fact that members of the church are like the people they're associated with. Brother Hudson always prayed, one of the elders at Broadmoor. He said, Lord, when we leave this building, don't let us forget who we are. Israel forgot who they were. And they had roots in disobedience. And so Moses 9 times in this book said, lest you forget. See, the book of Deuteronomy is the second giving of the law. It's like dual wheels on a truck or a duet. It means two. This is the second giving of the law. And he said, don't you forget God's law when you cross over that river. And then 14 times he said, you remember. Remember what God has done. Remember the covenant that God has given. So brethren, we need to remember. When we turn to 1 John, 2 John, and 3 John, less than 100 years removed from the establishment of the Lord's church, he had the Gnostics that came in the church. John had to deal with it in a sense that the other apostles did not have to deal with it because he lived longer than the others. How did he deal with it? In 7 chapters, he said 9 times, let's go back to the beginning. Moses is going to take them back to Mount Sinai when God spoke to them. What do we learn from this in the Lord's church? The Lord's church has never been faithful to God more than 100 years. That ought to scare every one of us. See, Israel got the wild idea they want to be like the people round about them. People in the Lord's church get the same idea. If they can do it, why can't we do it? Our roots of disobedience stand loud and long. See, we're reminded in Acts 20, 29 and 30 that men would come in speaking perverse things. That people speak perverse things and are always disciples. In 1 Timothy, the 4th chapter, reminded again that the Spirit speaketh expressly, that in latter times some shall depart from the faith, giving heed to seducing spirits and doctrines of devils. 2 Timothy, the 4th chapter, the same thing. Preach the word, be instant in season, out of season, reprove, rebuke, and exhort with all longsuffering and doctrine. For the time will come that they will not endure sound doctrine. Roots of disobedience. But then he leaves that and he comes to roots of obedience. Roots of success. He said, do you know who you are? You're the seed of Abraham. That God made a covenant with Abraham and with Isaac and with Jacob. And that you are in the blood lineage of Abraham. You're the promise that God made to Abraham. Remember who you are. Remember what God can do for you. He said, when we go to Mount Seir, he said, we can't take the land and we can't meddle with them. He said, we've got to buy food from them and we've got to buy water from them. Why? He said, I've given the land to the descendants of Esau. Esau wasn't a part of the promise. Why did God give him this land? His association with Jacob, his brother. He's still the seed of Abraham, but not in obedience to God. And God gave them that land. He said, don't meddle with them. Well, who did they drive out? They drove out the people you were afraid of. And he said, when we leave there and we go into the land of Ammon, he said, don't meddle with them either. He said, they're the descendants of Lot. Because that Lot was Abraham's nephew, God gave his descendants a land. Now, do you stop and think what God could have done for you if you've been obedient? Would you stop and think? I think that Moses is doing here to the children of Israel exactly what Jesus did to the Jews concerning the Good Samaritan. He poked him in the ribs. He said, how did the descendants of Esau take a portion of this land? You couldn't take it. How could the descendants of Lot take this land and you made up your mind you couldn't take it? Bad thinking. God was successful in giving them the land, and God will be successful with you in giving you the land. Look now in Deuteronomy chapter 3. Turn over to chapter 3. And we'll begin with verse 1. Then we turned and went up by the way of Bashan, and Og, the king of Bashan, came out against us He and all of his people. What happened to him? He said what? Og was the last of the giants down in verse 11. He said he had a bed that was 13 feet long and 6 feet wide. Og was a big man. And he said, when they came out to fight against us, what did we do? We defeated them, took their land, and took their cattle and everything that they had. He said, not only that, he said, when we got through with them, he said, we decided we'd defeat old King Sihon as well. And we did the same thing to them. Don't forget that God keeps His promises. That God has promised you, and God keeps His promises. My daddy was an ungodly man for 60 years. In fact, 62 years of his life. He drank, he cursed, it's sort of rough. But when he was 62, he became a Christian when I was in North Carolina. He became a different man. And when he died at the age of 94, he said, "Son, will God forgive me of all that I've done?" I said, "Dad, you've got the same promise that I have. God said He would." Do you know that's all we've got? We've just got the promise of God. That's all we've got. That's all I've got. That's all you've got. That God promised it. And God promised the land to them and they rebelled. And God said, "Still, I'm going to do what I said I would do." Moses mentioned to him back in verse 1, back in chapter 1, really. I want you to notice in verse 11. "The Lord God of your fathers make you 1,000 times so many more than you are and bless you as He has promised. From 75 people, He made 600,000 soldiers." Some people estimated more than 2 million people. And now Moses said, God has the power outdo that by thousands of times. Think of the roots that you have in Abraham. That when God called Abraham and made that promise to him, that this is what He would do for him. Now look, if you will, in Deuteronomy 4 and verse 6. And this is again something that we often miss. "Your roots of success depends upon you keeping God's covenant." Now watch this. "Keep therefore and do them." This is 4th chapter, verse 6. "For this is your wisdom and your understanding in the sight of the nations." He said, if you want to be wiser than the other nations round about you, he said, "you keep the commandments of God, which you hear all these statutes and say, surely, this is a great nation, is a wise and understanding people." When New York City first became a state, you know what law they had for marriage and divorce? The Pilgrims said that, with tongue in cheek, that we will follow Matthew chapter 19 until we find a better law for divorce and remarriage. Boy, we left that a long time ago, didn't we? We scrapped that decades ago. But friends, God is a wise God. And God's people are wiser than other the people if they read the Bible. I've known of men that never finished high school that had a good education in the Bible. And they're wiser than most college teachers. had more wisdom, more understanding. Listen again and read on down. For what nation is there so great who hath God so nigh unto them, and the Lord our God is in all things that we call upon Him for? Friends, what can we do here in Clarksville if we realize that when we come together in obedience to God, that He is in our presence? How do you know? He promised that He would be. Jesus promised that He would be. Where two or three are gathered together in My name, there I am in the midst. Why are we here? You're not the audience. God is the audience. See, I'm not here to please you. We're here to please God. And somehow we've lost that. I remember when I got my certificate, elementary education. They made me take a couple of courses in art. And about the only thing I can do is draw checks. That's about the extent of it. But they were talking about art, that in days gone by, church buildings were built high, tall with big steeples, to reach high to it, to reach to heaven. Now the architecture is spread out to reach to the people and make community churches. You know how long ago that was? That was 39 years ago. I had that art appreciation class. Aren't we sensing that? What's the church going to do for me? It's what can I do for God? That's why we're here. And then God has made all these promises if I'll be faithful to Him. And He said, don't you forget it. Don't you forget it. Then He reminded them that a group of people ever to gather together, as you people did at the Mount of Sinai. And you saw the smoke and the fire, and you heard God speak to you. And you saw no form, the NIV says, the King James says you saw no similitude. What does God look like? I'll give you a word that tells you what God looks like. You draw it on a sheet of paper for me. Holiness. See, God doesn't let you know anything about how He looks, how wide He is, how tall that He is. He's holy. And Moses is saying to the children of Israel that if you're going to be God's people, you're going to have to be obedient and be holy. That's what the book of Deuteronomy says. That God gave you nothing when He spoke to you that you could put on a piece of paper, that you could chisel on wood and say, this is God, nor form out of a piece of metal and say that He gave you nothing. Jesus tells us why. God is a spirit. They that worship Him must worship Him in spirit and in truth. God is holy. God wants a group of obedient people and holy people. And Moses said, when you go over that river into that land that God has given you, if you're going to keep it, you've got to obey God and be holy. Friends, the same thing is true today. When you cross over death and leave this old world, you better be in obedience to God. And you better be living a holy life. God wants people who will obey Him. Now the third thing, very hurriedly, we need to cover is the fact that if you're going to be God's people in the future, that it depends on your relationship with God's law, God's covenant, the covenant that God has made with you. Look in Deuteronomy 4 in verse 2. Notice, ye shall not add unto the words which I command you, neither shall you diminish aught from it, that you may keep the commandments of the Lord your God which I commanded you. He said, don't get careless with the Word of God. He said, don't remove anything from the Word of God and don't add anything to it. You know, we take the Word of God like going down to Kroger's at the supermarket. We select and pick what we want. Even members of the church do. We don't believe everything God says. Oh, no, we don't. I deal with adultery quite often. I deal with fornication, God's people, quite often. I deal with God's people that are involved in the lottery. I deal in God's people get angry with one another. I deal with God's people that murmur. They're never content. Why? Oh, we believe in God, but we don't believe God. You know, Moses, when he saw the burning bush and he pulled aside and God spoke to him out of the burning bush. Moses certainly believed in God, but Moses didn't believe God. He didn't believe that he was the man to go down into Egypt. And he said, Lord, would you not send somebody else? I've got a speech problem. And God said, who made you, Mike? Have you forgotten Moses? Gideon, when he was complaining about Midianites, God said, you're right. I'm going to do something about it. And Gideon, you're the man. What? Oh, he was praying to God, but he didn't believe what God said. He said, give me a sign. He gave him a sign. That wasn't enough. Then he said, I've got some fleas here. Let it be wet and the dry ground around about it. He still didn't believe God. He said, now tomorrow, let it be dry and the ground be wet. You think that members of the church are not like that today? Zacharias was burning incense. He was a priest of God in the temple of God burning incense. And God, through an angel, said, your wife's going to have a baby. He said, whereby shall I know that? He believed in God, but he didn't believe God. Denominational people in the city of Clarksville, they believe in God, but they don't believe what God said about baptism. I believe what God said about the Lord's Supper. They don't believe what God said about the importance of attending services. They don't believe Hebrews 10:25. Two Rivers Baptist Church in Nashville has 6,700 members. You know how many in attendance they have? 1,434 on Sunday mornings, some Sunday mornings. 75% of their people are breaking the commandment in Hebrews 10:25. God gave us a covenant. You made a vow to God when you became a Christian. And Moses is saying to the children of Israel, you have committed yourself to God. Now, keep the commitment that you made when you cross over that river. And don't tamper with it. Don't take anything away from it and add anything to it. He said, now there's two men alive out of that whole group. It's Joshua and Caleb. Because Caleb followed the Lord wholly or with his whole heart. Remember what Jesus said when the young man came to him and said, what is the great commandment in the law? And Jesus said, thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, with all thy soul, and with all thy man. The book of Deuteronomy said, with all your might. This is the first and great commandment, and the second is likened to it, thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. On these two commandments hang all the law and the prophets.
See, the whole truth about relationship, we do it because of God. That's number one. Number two is our neighbor. And when you get those reversed, you've got a denomination. That's all you need to do to get a denomination. Just put people before God. And that's part of what we're going to be studying this week. Then Israel got people ahead of God. So let's remember tonight as we bring the lesson to a close. And I'll just stop now and pick up here tomorrow night. But we need to remember that we keep God's covenant. God wants obedient people. God wants holy people. How obedient are you? How holy are you? When we say that people don't believe God, we see the roots of disobedience throughout the Bible. It starts in the garden, Adam and Eve, and Cain. We come to Noah and we see that only eight people are saved. We see the roots. Did I be when David said that in sin did my heart deceive me? Did I be said I was false? And why did that ever Because man drew to disobedience. But many believe that he was born in sin. Then finally, one of the leaders said, wait a minute, this happened. I can't imagine little babies crawling around in hell in fire if they're not by salvation. So the purgatory came out. The people didn't believe that God said it. Jesus said, suffer little children from the name after they did not. For such as the kingdom. We need to humble ourselves before God. I tell you something, it's humbling. Stick your finger in some water. Pull it out real quick. Just snatch it. And look at the hole. That's the way we are. Friends, when I'm gone, my wife and my children, my grandchildren, we'll all be open. Nobody else will be right here. And the same thing is true with you. We're here to serve God. And Moses reminded the children of Israel. You've got a good God who's made your promise to somebody to try to live with. Over there and live and be and hold the life. And God will be with you. And bless you and make you much greater than you are. That's the lesson of life. Have you ever obeyed God? Jesus said, for if you believe not that I am he, ye shall die in your sins. God forbid that anyone should deny himself. Jesus again said, I tell you, maybe, except you repent. Ye shall all likewise perish. It may be another problem. Sitting on the side of them and say, how do you say this is happening? You may not be sleeping. But Jesus said, your soul is separated from you. But Jesus said, he did confess to me before men. Him also will I confess before my Father, which is in heaven. You've got to make a commitment, a confession that you believe that Jesus is the Son of God and He's going to be the Lord of your life and you're going to be obedient and live a holy life. That's what you should do. You said, I believe Jesus is God. And then that old man, It's not just Mary. It's Mary, but Jesus. See, Jesus was buried. And Paul said in Romans 6, we're buried with Him. We're not just raised up, we're raised up with Him. If any man is Christ, he's a new creature. That's the whole thing. Through faith, we are receiving the gift. A Gentile. A Gentile. Through faith, obedience to Jesus. I cannot see a difference. And those of you that are Christians, you realize who you are. You will see a difference. And those of you that are not, remember, you can become a see a difference. You can disappoint God as if you do. From that moment, man, while together, we stand in seven.